Shabbat Shalom, everyone. How are you this morning? Amen. Are you okay? Our Torah portion today is in Deuteronomy chapter 3, and our parasha is Va'et Kanan, which opens with Moses describing how he beseeches God in prayer. In Deuteronomy 3:23 says, "I also pleaded with the Lord at that time." Like Moses, Yeshua tenaciously entreated the Father. He began his days by rising before dawn and seeking some solitary place to pray. He prayed often and he prayed passionately. Who among us here has taken the time to pray this morning before coming to Sheol? Who among us here, he has taken the time to pray this morning before coming here? Prayer is a great power that Yeshua has given to each one and knows what our hearts desire. I know that all of us have a busy life, right? With limited time, and always in a hurry or in a rush. But there comes a time in your day where you've got to slow down. Take time in aside for prayer. As A.M. Bound said, "The prayers of God's saints are the capital stocks in heaven by which Yeshua carries on his great work upon earth." My message this morning is about prayer. I hope and I pray that this message will be a challenge, an encouragement to all of us as a congregation, and to go deeper into our relationship with Yeshua through our prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we would come together today and celebrate your presence. We humble our hearts before you. I pray that you will bless your word, and the Ruach HaKodesh will minister to each and every one of us. Open our spiritual eyes, ears, and understanding so that we can hear from you. I ask all this in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Let us open our Bible in the book of Acts, chapter 12. Verse 1 to 17, and my message is the power of prayer when God's people pray. So there's power in prayer when God's people pray. Did you believe on that? Amen. In verse 1, Acts chapter 12, "Now about the time Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, when he seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him for our four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church, by the congregation, or by the people of God. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up, quickly!" And his chains fell off in his hands, and the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Verse 10, when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that laid in the city, which opened for them by itself. Immediately, the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent for his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary and mother of John, who was also called Mark, when many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "It is angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." Then he left and went to another place. Brothers and sisters, is there something in your life that you've been going through as you came in here today that you would love to see God's power to move in? As we read Acts chapter 12, we will be able to see God's presence move in an incredible situation. And we're going to look at when God's people pray, the impossible can become possible. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king laid hand on some who belonged to the congregation in order to mistreat them. Here, mentioned in this chapter, is Herod Agrippa the first, the grandson of Herod the Great, who asked to slaughter the infants in Bethlehem when Yeshua was born. And Herod was a quintessential politician. When he was in Rome, he lives like a Roman. He also observed the Jewish feast and sacrifice. He knows how to keep Roman people happy, and he knows to keep Jewish people happy. But he viewed that the Jewish Christian is disrupted. But he didn't want this upstart sect to disturb the peace that he had worked so hard. That's why in Acts 12:1 says, it's about time that the time of famine of famine that the time that the congregation in Jerusalem was growing crazy. According to this verse, it tells us the story of how the congregation or God's people were facing terrible persecution for their faith in Yeshua, facing life-threatening crisis. In verse 12, it says, "And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword." So Herod arrested a number of the Christians, and he had James beheaded. And then when he saw the favorable response among the Jews, he planned to repeat again the process to Peter. But because of having a 7 days of festival of unleavened bread, when Peter arrested, Peter remained in jail until the festival ended. Because of public execution during the sacred season would be appended to the people. But when you look at in verse 6, Acts chapter 12, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with the two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. Yes, Peter was in prison, guarded by the soldiers, and he was waiting to be executed the next day by orders of King Herod, the Roman governor over Palestine. And Peter appeared to be in a desperate situation. Yet, even this kind of situation, Peter had such peace within him that he was able to sleep. In Acts 12:5, says here, "So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being offered fervently to God by Messiah's community." As the congregation, they had no weapons against forces arrayed towards them, but their only resource is to depend on God, to make His will known, with the hope that Peter would be rescued and the congregation would be saved. That's why when people God pray, we can see and read the great things happen. So when the congregation in Jerusalem prayed for Peter, what happened? In verse 6 to 11, it says, "On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guard in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, 'Get up quickly.' And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and put on your sandals.' And he did so. And he said to him, 'Wrap your cloak around and you follow me. And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel." He thought that it's only a vision, but it's real. We find Peter lying in prison when an angel suddenly appears and wakes him up. Peter is being delivered. While they live in imprisonment, the iron gate unbolts itself by the power of God through the prayers of the people. Brothers and sisters, great things happen when the power of prayer flows within us. The prayers of the congregation were answered. But when the answered arrived at the door, they didn't believe it. But we should be people of faith who believe that God answered the prayers of those who seek His will. When you pray, believe you'll get an answer. And when the answer comes, don't be surprised. Why? because you asked for. Instead of being surprised, we must be thankful because Yeshua answered our prayer, right? So after Peter's deliverance from prison, he made his way to the house of Miriam, where he knew that believers were praying for him. So we could see here that the congregation in Jerusalem, they're always praying to God. And when he knocked on the door of the entrance gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. Although she recognized Peter's voice out of joy, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. One thing for sure is that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, mentioned in Acts chapter 12, is the same God whom we serve today. If God was able to perform miracles before, he can still perform today. In John 14:12-14, says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this will do. Because I go to the Father, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means his power will forever be the same. In Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Yes, Yeshua never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 3 years ago, my friend's wife had a heart attack, and she was in a coma for 2 weeks. It can be very upsetting for and frustrating for a person, a family, to see someone they love in a coma, and they may feel scared and helpless. But after I prayed for her in the hospital in ICU, my friend told me that the doctor who was in charge told him he needed to prepare himself because his wife could pass anytime. He must be died anytime. Because the results of the lab tests were getting worse. But praise God. God is a good God. Amen? He is a good God. If he did miracles before, he can do miracles today. During the difficult times, his congregation met together in prayer and fasting. They take an overnight prayer meeting, seeking God's intervention that she will be healed. And some of them did a 24/7 chain prayer. In 5 months, they received God's promise, and their prayers were answered. Today, she's alive. She's alive. And she's faithfully serving Yeshua. That's the power when God's people pray. When God's people pray, great things happen. Yeshua is gracious and compassionate. He delights to answer the prayers of his people. He opens his hands, satisfies the desires of his people. Yeshua teaches us that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. Turn with me in Acts 4:31. another record of the early congregation that when God's people pray, miracles happen. Acts 4:31. This is another miracle happened when God's people pray. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. What happened when they gathered together in prayer? Said the place were shaken. The context of this verse describes about how Peter and John and others went around preaching the word of God and saving lives, but the Jews threatened them and told them not to preach, right? In our verse, it says the place were shaken, where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. As I read the testimony of Charles Spurgeon, who knows Charles Spurgeon, which mentioned about him preaching the word of God, and while he was preaching, many people were struck down by the power of God, and multitude were saved. But behind his preaching was the vital intercession of his praying congregation. There were hundreds of people weeping, traveling before God at the prayer room. The tears that they shed, the groan that they uttered, made the presence of God move. Henry Ward Beecher, who was a very famous American preacher, many years ago has been asked, what was the reason of the success of your ministry? And he said, the secret to the success of my ministry is not my preaching. It's not my organizational skills, not the scholarity that I possess, or the leaders we have, but because I have a good reflectors in the pews. In other words, when he preached the word of God, the light of the gospel was truth, and teaching the word of God went forth, the people were reflecting the reality in their obedience, in their action. Besides, prayers of the congregation has been non-stop. They really get to grip with God and prayer. Yes, there is power in prayer when God people unite in prayer. Did you pray for me this morning? I hope so. In Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8, it says, not by might nor by power, but the power of the Holy Spirit through the prayerful people of God. How's your prayer life at this time in Yeshua, my brothers and sisters? Is it enduring or enduring? One of the secrets to any successful ministry is a prayerful congregation, right? One of the secrets to any successful ministry is a prayerful congregation. I know and I believe that we are longing for that as well. Right? Am I right? We want to experience the power of God in the manifestation of Ruach HaKodesh in our midst. But the question is, are we willing to pay the cost? Are we willing to pay the cost? Don't you know that when we invest our time in prayer, great things happen? When we invest our time in prayer, great things happen. Because in Jeremiah 33 says, Call unto me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. There's a lot of mysteries in the Bible. We can only get the answer through prayers because God revealed to us. When I started to attend the pre-prayer downstairs, there are more than 20 people. But this morning, praise the Lord, still there are 10 people. From more than 20, let's go down to 10. I don't say that all of us need to attend this prayer. But if God touched your heart to join, why not? But what I'm trying to say is that as a member of this congregation, we need to support the ministry. We need to support the ministry of Yeshua, not Rabbi Carl. The ministry of Yeshua through prayer. Amen? And according to the survey, the real problem of congregation nowadays is the prayer life of each individual. The real problem of every congregation nowadays is the prayer life of each individual. Turn your Bible in Matthew 26. Verse 39. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, So, you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again in a second time and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Many years ago, I was invited to a family camp in Kelowna. The organizers of this camp requested that every congregational leader should give a lecture during that camp. Being one of the leaders, I had to participate. And the topic had to be is an important message that the congregation or individual needed. So I spent time with God and asked Him to give me the right topic that I'm going to teach. And He gave me Matthew 4, verse 4. He said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Lord, Matthew 4, 4, what is this? And then it comes to my mind, prayer and fasting. So God gave me the word of prayer and fasting. So I said, okay, God, let your will be done. So I went on to inform the organizers what I was going to teach at the camp. I was surprised when somebody opposed me and said, Jerry, I think prayer and fasting is not appropriate. It's not appropriate topic for the camp. Well, Maybe. But it says that important thing needed in the church on individual. So, I think this is the one, right? So, I explained to them that this topic was a revelation from God for me to share. And to tell the story short, when it was time for me to teach the Word of God, the enemy tried to stop me. But I said to him, no, you can't stop me. Because greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. I had given my lecture for about 3 hours at that time, and many people were blessed and asked more about fasting and prayer. And Luke 12, verse 12 says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. The Holy Spirit will teach us what to say. I remember the story of Jonathan Edwards. Who knows Jonathan Edwards? Good. One time, he was invited to preach at Enfield, Connecticut. It was the height of the Great Awakening in one of the most intense outpouring of God's Spirit in American history. The fire of God was falling everywhere when he preached his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And there was a great awakening, moaning and crying before God. In Zechariah 12:10 says, then I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication when they will look toward me when they pierce. If we want to see and experience God's miracle in our congregation, we need to pray earnestly. We need to pay the cost. When we pray, we need to trust in God's wisdom and kindness, knowing that He has our best interest in mind. Though we don't always get an affirmative answer, we can be confident that our prayers are heard. The power of prayer when God's people pray. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Right? They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. What happened? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Somebody prayed for me, that's why I'm saved. Maybe if nobody prayed for me, I'm not here. But because somebody is praying for me, somebody prayed for me, I'm here. Right? The power of prayer is given to accomplish the purpose of God only if we are willing to be instrument for His purpose. The power of prayer is given to accomplish the purpose of God only if we are willing to be an instrument for His purpose. During the last 2 weeks of June, Jeff Bernstein came to our congregation to equip, encourage, and awaken our spirit to become more useful in God's vineyard. His teaching mentioned that most of the congregation today is stagnant, not moving. attending their prayer meeting or Shabbat service, instead of increase, it will decrease. Why? Because believers are contented coming to shul every Shabbat. Worshipping God and listening to the message, well, that's good. But one thing is missing. The neglect, the Great Commission. They neglect the Great Commission. I do believe that we, the Torah observant life, can be a powerful tool for evangelism. We believe in Torah, right? So, Torah observant life can be a powerful tool for evangelism because the Torah says that when we keep God's commandments, unbelievers will see the difference in our lives. In Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. I was so blessed when my daughters told me that they went to Sinok Mall with the youth and Rabbi Cal for evangelism, and they shared with me their experience. As I listened to their testimony, I could see and feel the joy and sincerity in their heart. I asked them if they were scared or nervous, and they said no. Because they said that before they approached the person, they prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to give them boldness to share the word of God. Most congregations are busy with many activities, programs, and other ministries. However, the ministry of prayer and evangelism are not sometimes the priority. Every great awakening in the history of the congregation, from the time of apostles until today, has been the result of prayer. Every great awakening in the history of the congregation, from the time of apostles until today, has been the result of prayer. Who knows Andrew Evans? Andrew Evans has one of the largest congregation in Australia, from 150 members up to more than 3,500. In his testimony that says that one day God spoke to him while he was praying and said, if you want your congregation to grow, you have to build a powerful prayer base. Then said, yes, Lord, I will do. So Andrew Evans and his friend started praying together. And after 8 months, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, I don't want you to continue praying every Saturday with this brother alone. Bring the entire congregation into it. Andrew Evans preached and encouraged his member to join the prayer group. Finally, out of 150 members, there were 31 people who committed to join them in prayer. From there, he mobilized one person every day to dedicate whole day for prayer and fasting. Discovered the entire month, 31 days, someone is praying. After a few months, they noticed the impact of prayer upon their congregation. People began to come in. The congregation began to develop and grow. They had over 3,500 attending. And there is 1,600 involved regularly in prayer every day. In evening, these were the people who give one day every week for prayer and fasting. It's amazing, right? It's amazing. Because of those brothers and sisters who were willing to offer prayer and fasting for the spiritual growth and increase the number of their congregation, God honored their commitment. A.M. Bounds says, walking with God down the avenues of prayer, we acquire something of His likeness. And unconsciously, we become witnesses to others of His beauty and His grace. The power of prayer through God's people in the congregation mentioned in Acts 12, who came together as a family to seek God's help for brother in great need. Their prayers had power because they were united in their walk with God. They joined their hearts, their hands were lifted in their cries to God, and God heard them and moved in power. We pray not just about our personal prayer list, but we should also pray for the needs and burdens for those around us. My question is, do we as a congregation spend time praying for others? Do we as a congregation spend time praying for others? Right now, there are families in our congregation who need our prayers. Some are struggling spiritually, struggling physically, mentally, financially. Let us support the ministry of prayer in our congregation. We must pray for our leaders. Every ministry in each one of us, every needs, we need to go down in prayer. We surely, as living in the end times, and the Lord is unveiling the mysteries of the words, He spoke to the Hebrews prophet, and our part is to pray without ceasing. Stay close to the Lord. Be conscious of the signs of the times in which we live. Be ready for all eventualities and continue to work while it's still light, because the night is coming. I would like to close my message with a question. How is your prayer life? How is our prayer life, brothers and sisters? Are we a prayerful congregation? Are we a prayerful congregation? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word today. I believe that some of us here feel our own deficiency and struggle in our lives when it comes to prayer. Father God, forgive us because we sometimes neglect this important part of our life. Thank you, Ruach HaKodesh, that you are our helper. When we don't know what to pray, you are there to comfort and encourage us. As your word declares in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Thank you, Adonai. And we give you back all the glory and the honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. I would like to invite the worship team and the prayer team to come forward, please. Those who wants to be prayed for, you are free to come forward.